Thank you, everybody, for being so patient with us.
It's Big JD's grandma.
And Big JD's mom.
And Big JD. It's time for the Jabbercast. Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
That's right. Welcome to the Jabbercast, Big JD and Lippo.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing pretty good.
Do you have any deja vu?
Deja vu?
Yeah.
From what? All of this?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a standard Sunday morning thing.
On Sundays, you feel deja vu-ish.
Yeah.
Vu-ish.
Because we repeat all this madness going on before the show starts.
Yeah. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling okay today, I must say, yeah.
That's good. How's things been going in general?
In general, same as always. Soreness and pain and all that kind of thing, but, you know, really? I get by. Okay. I have a routine that I routinely do.
That's why they call it a routine.
That's right. Oh, we want to say, right from the get-go, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Yes, it is Mother's Day when we're recording this live Sunday morning, May the...
14th.
9th.
Yeah. May 14th, that's my dad's birthday. And happy birthday to Paul, my drummer, Paul. It's his birthday today.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Is he a mother, too?
I don't think so.
But I'm sure he's been called something that has the word mother in it. Did you see Betty White last night on Saturday Night Live?
I did not.
She's so hilarious.
Yeah?
She used that phrase. That's what made me
mother!
Think
mother!
Yeah.
She's Tell crazy. Your children not to look my way.
That's right. Not to do what I say.
Mother. So yeah, here we are live in the studio, the Jabbercast, not a pre-recorded show today, except for those of you that are listening to the podcast, which...
doesn't matter.
I'm sure you know you can listen to the live show Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. over Ustream. Search us there, the Jabbercast, or you can listen from the website, which we prefer.
Yeah, just go to the website at thejabbercast.com and you'll see the Ustream player right there. Click play at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. And you'll listen to our dulcet tones.
A lot easier going to our website.
Yes, I think so.
However, we don't have a chat yet up on the website, eh? So
the chat is not on the website.
There's probably something on the player that they can just click and it goes to Ustream to the chat and that, though, right?
There is,
yeah, yes. There you go.
You can click on...
Because you can chat with us live. Lippo, actually.
Yeah, I'm running the chat here.
He runs the chat. It's hard to keep up with, but go on.
Yeah, it is, because I'm looking at two screens. The chat's over at my left, and my thing is going on in front of me.
Whoa, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, tons what of was fun. That? Drums?
I certainly hope not. Now is not the time to drum. There was some drums going on last night. Guitars.
Was there?
Yeah, my kids had a sleepover last night.
Okay, were you jamming at all?
Oh, we jammed all night last night with Dan.
Oh, really?
Brought my guitar out there. We sat
over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we sat in his garage.
But here, was there jamming going on here?
Yeah, I think there was, yeah.
Oh, okay, but you weren't here.
I wasn't here when the
jamming. Oh, you were there and you were jamming. Okay, so just you and he, or did you have the band over, or what was going on?
No, two acoustics in his garage.
Oh, very nice. Did you tape it, record it? You must have got some. You had your micro track.
I had the mic. No, I brought that, but I had the mic connected to GarageBand, set up perfectly. Never hit record.
Oh, man. This just gets better all the time.
It's all set up and everything. iMic and the whole thing.
The Mac up. And Apple King never records anything.
I never record. That was weird. Because I had like transcriptions up in front of me, like tabs and stuff. And
And
GarageBand was behind it. I never even thought of it. And until I went like this to close it up at the end of the night, I was, I had the mic. That's right.
Wow. You should have had the backup going there, the Microtrack.
The Microtrack didn't come with me. I mean, it came with me to Chatham, but I didn't bring it into his garage.
Cool. Must have been a cool jam session, though.
We were learning the song, I've Just Seen a Face.
I've just seen a face before. I can't forget the time or place where we just met. And I want all the world to see. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the song.
Just go for me. I want all the world to see we've met. Yeah.
That's it.
I love that tune. That's cool. The Beatles.
The Beatles, yeah. We did some other tunes, but that one's it's interesting in so much that it's the beat, like the rhythm of it. It's called a skiffle beat. Yeah. The strumming has just got to be a certain way to give you that feel.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a feel that
it's never a specific feel, like ragtime is, like the different kinds of things. You know what I mean? Like ragtime is got a specific feel.
That's right, and that is definitely the case with that song.
So you guys do that live? KingFridayRocks.com.
KingFridayRocks.com. That's the website of the band that I'm in with Dan. Mm-hmm. And let's just say we're working on it.
It'd be neat if you guys like to just come and sit down on a couple of stools and do a few acoustic songs. I think people would dig that.
I would, that's for sure. Maybe do three sets like that.
Yeah.
It sure is lighter load in time, that's for sure.
Happy Mother's Day, Kim. Thank you. Big JD.
He said Big JD. that mother's got the hiccups. That's funny. You want to head over to the newsroom?
Let's do it.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world and sometimes out of this world from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
Okay, one thing before I forget, Swatch makes a lot of cool watches. There's so many different Swatch watches, and some people, I think, just collect these things because they're like collector's items or whatever. Do you still have you have a Chrysler Swatch?
No.
No, you don't have that?
I lost it or threw it away or whatever.
Do you know how much those are going for now?
The Chrysler Swatch watches?
$23,000, as long as it still has its original packaging and whatever. $23,000.
Who's gonna buy that for $23,000?
Yeah, that's how much they're worth right now, so you're going to lose out on that.
I don't
know. No, I'm just kidding. But Swatch just announced that they have, many highly visible artists and fashion designers have contributed creations to the popular Swatch and art collection, but they have some new artists now. And I don't know who these people are, but these are a couple of new young artists, Enki Bilal and Ivan Navarro, and fashion designers Manish Arora and Cassette Playa. For real. Hey, that's for real. And they've created new works to enrich the collection. So I just wanted to announce that because I get Swatch newsletters because I have Swatches. And
do you get the
it's pretty cool.
Do you get the Louis Vuitton newsletter as well?
The Rootin' Tootin' Louis Vuitton? No, I don't. Do I have anything by Louis Vuitton? No. I wouldn't mind a Louis Vuitton bag. That'd be sweet.
But you have, what kind of are your sunglasses?
Oh, I've got some Versace.
Okay, I have some Versace too.
Versace. What do you got?
My glasses are Versace glasses.
Oh, yeah, okay. Regular glasses.
Just regular old glasses, yeah.
Yeah, Versace makes some cool stuff. Prada.
Prada, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, Prada.
You had the red splotch on your...
Yeah, you know what happened to those. Lost in New York. That's my song.
Damn it.
I called it Lost in New York. Lost in New York. But I have another...
See.
I have another set of Pradas now. That'll
of course
do
you
it
do.
I'd like to get the same other ones again, though, but these ones are pretty cool. Nice wraps. So what's going on in the news for you?
The news this week, of course, I'm the real news guy. Jeff has the news.
I do have a couple pieces of news.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
BP says oil cleanup costs $10 million per day, which if you're BP... What is $10 million a day? That's like how much you make in 1 hour.
What does BP really look like, though?
British Petroleum?
Oh, no. BP.
BP.
Yeah.
Like bee urine is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Do they pee?
I don't know. I'm sure they excrete something.
Okay.
Do they eat?
They eat honey. They make honey and they eat honey. They eat pollen. Do they eat?
That's what I'm saying. Do they actually
eat? They can't eat insects.
I mean, they put stuff in their body and then they excrete stuff to make the, you know, the, whatever that is that they put in the comb.
Yeah. How does that come out of them? Exactly. Where does it come out? Oh,
their face.
Yeah. They regurgitate like the pollen stuff.
Right. So they make the pollen, but then there's the stuff that makes the honey.
So if you open a bee, will there be honey inside it?
Yeah, so all you gotta do is cut them open and
make a sandwich.
It's like, what is that fruit? A pomegranate.
Right, they got the seeds inside. You can eat the seeds.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, you have to meticulously take one at a time. There's a lot of candy that was like that, or food.
Oh,
that,
I see. Okay. You can just open them up and squish it onto your bread and then open another one up and squish till you get enough honey.
Right, right.
Yeah. Right from the source. But go on, yeah. BP and oil.
Can we ever go down a rat trap hole? British Petroleum could now be spending as much as $10 million a day on the cleanup of its oil well in the Gulf of Mexico. The amount is significantly higher than the original $6 million a day revealed last week. So instead of only spending 5 minutes of their profit, they're spending like 10 minutes almost now. $10 million. That's nothing.
Uh-oh. That might have got the bird going. But go on.
You may have. So, yeah. Recently, I think it was yesterday, Saturday, May 8th, they dropped that dome on top of the well where the oil is.
How'd that work out?
The oil. Have you seen the video?
No, I didn't see the video.
There is oil literally just gushing out of the ground. The seafloor.
Sure.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, yeah. You wonder if that could happen naturally. I guess not. They have to drill down quite a ways into the seafloor before you get to the oil.
Can't they find a way to just to channel that somewhere? You know?
That's what they're going to do.
Well, what's taking so long here? This is nothing. This takes 2 seconds.
What takes
They just monkey around is all they do.
You think
they don't want to fix that right away.
Why not?
Because it's a big government scam.
Well, I'm all about government scams, but I'd like to know the angle that you're thinking of. What is the advantage to putting... Oh, I know what the advantage is. Because they put the hold on, all oil wells in the Gulf of Mexico. Let's just stop all oil well production right now while we get this fixed, because this is a mess and this could happen again. We got to investigate. So when there's no oil being produced, that means supply goes down. Mm-hmm. Demand remains the same. Prices go up. You're right. I never even thought of that. So anyways, they got the cap on it, which has a little hose on it. I mean, like an opening, and they're just going to pump that up into a tanker. So that's what they're going to do about that. But they still got to fix it.
Good for them.
They still got to fix the thing.
Yeah.
That's the way that's going to be indefinitely? They're just going to have this cap on it with a hose.
Maybe they should just make the gas down there.
Have a refinery under the ocean. Mm-hmm.
That's something they should check. Dig. There's probably already places under the ocean, for all we know. But just have it go down instead of up somehow. Go further to the source. You know, it's coming up through cracks, but it's coming from someplace. Maybe they can channel from there somehow. Who knows? Ex-NFL star Lawrence Taylor arrested for rape.
LT.
Hey, did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
Isn't that something?
He was sponsored by somebody, and he lost it.
Yeah, I'm sure. And he was also on ABC's Dancing with the Stars last year.
Was he really? Oh, yeah, yeah. I watch that every night.
He had a highly publicized struggle with drug addiction and has had multiple legal run-ins in retirement. So, do you think he's guilty?
Yes.
There you go.
Is he guilty of rape, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's the chick. I think she probably, you know.
Think somebody just wants to cash in?
Yeah, if you're hanging out with LT, you know there's going to... And you're a woman?
You know there's going to be a rape.
They don't know. You know
he's... Yo, LT, what's up, dog?
Right.
No, I don't know. I guess it's happened before, so...
I think someone like him, I think, gets it in his head. I'm LT, and I'm with this woman. She obviously wants
it. She wants it. Yeah. So, and you know what they say? No really means yes. When a woman says no, she really means yes, right?
Oh.
That's the way I've always taken it.
Really? I've always just walked away when they say no. I had all those opportunities.
That's all wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And also, two Dixie chicks decide to run with the hounds. So two of the Dixie chicks are now doing their own thing.
What does that mean, run with the hounds?
Well, they're running with the hounds. It's a name of their new group, the Something Hounds. I wish I knew.
Well, come on, tell people. People are
dying. Well, no, I don't want to tell people.
They're going
to
run to...
Emily Robinson and Marty McGuire.
Yes.
Founded the Dixie Chicks. They played together as children in a bluegrass band and make her calls. No one would have guessed that her kid sister was a future pop star. Emily would wear this, blah, 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 blah. James Robinson, 37, now lead singer of the Courtyard Hounds.
Courtyard Hounds. Go to iTunes and pick up the latest Courthouse Hounds.
For more information, a duo, she and McGuire, 40, founded while Dixie Chicks front woman, Natalie Maines, was on hiatus. See what happens when the cat's away?
The hounds will play.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Anything else news for you, or do you want to get into today's show topic?
There was another topic here that I thought was important enough to mention to our listeners.
Righty then.
Or it was that the bomber dude in Times Square. I wanted to get your opinion on that. Here's a guy drives an SUV.
Yeah, government scam. There's my opinion.
Guy drives an SUV into Times Square with some fertilizer that isn't even explosive. And he has fireworks with him. Actual fireworks.
Yeah, it's just a joke. I mean, if this was the real Al-Qaeda, whatever, any, you know, real deal, then it's not going to be Mickey Mouse like that. And they would never just leave something and walk away. They just blow it up in themselves. Got nothing to do with anything. This is all a big scare tactic.
It's something. It doesn't look
and or then, feel. Oh, we think we see a guy that, and he wasn't near the car or anything, but they just happen to have... The start of their video is a guy on the sidewalk changing a shirt and leaving.
Yeah.
And why don't they have the 3 seconds before that, him walking out away from the car if it was him? Like, right. You know what I mean? It's all... There's cameras everywhere there. There isn't anything that's not seen, I don't think, in Times Square if they want to.
Oh, yeah. A lot of angles, too.
You know what I mean?
Like, every one of those stores has at least 2 or 3 cameras facing the sidewalk.
And there's probably 1,000, if not 5,000, people with that guy leaving his car... on their cameras or video cameras.
Inadvertently.
And pictures and what, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a joke. The whole thing's a joke.
It is. If someone like us can actually, you know, see through that without even really looking very hard at it, it just seems so hokey. The fact that they actually mention, you went to the fireworks store and put some fireworks in there too.
Yeah, and the best part about it though is that they go on and on and on about how it's, you know, whatever it is.
This is just another reason for us to take more of your civil liberties away. You think you're all free and stuff. And the funny thing is the Taliban in Pakistan are actually claiming...
that they had something to do
with
it.
That was us. Yeah, that was us.
Well, the guy didn't even look like he was from...
He does.
I don't recall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He seems like a modern day...
yeah, but why would they even... You know what I mean? That's a Mickey Mouse setup, whatever it was.
It was. It's crazy. So I just want to get your take on that. And sure enough, you think the same
way. If it was the real deal, he'd just have bombs strapped all over him and just blow himself up and kill thousands and thousands and thousands of people. That easy. Boom. Done.
Not thousands of people.
Well, however many's in Times Square or around there.
Yeah, a few
hundreds.
A few dozen
whatever.
People would get...
Well, it depends on, yeah, how big his thing. If it was a car bomb, yeah, it would be pretty devastating, I'd say. And I don't think he'd do it where he did, like this little side street thing, kind of off the, you know, do it right in this, just drive right down to the main spot, man, smash into a building, kaboom. That would be the easy. Real deal.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Easier than what went on here and getting caught and everything. Like, just blow it up. It's done. There's not even anybody left to wonder who did it.
Right.
Just blown right up.
It's like the guy with the explosives in his underwear. Same dude.
Same thing.
Exactly.
Yep, just a scam to scare you. And it did. And you are listening to the Jabbercast. And today's show topic is...
hunting and fishing. And this is a show about actually hunting and fishing, or is it about men picking up chicks?
Ooh.
Or is it about email fishing?
I'm a hunter searching for something I might never find.
Are you singing the tune already? Is it
that might be... No, it's not Sunday Morning Music Mayhem.
Okay.
That might have been some mayhem, but... yeah, hunting and fishing. What about... comes to mind when you think of hunting and fishing?
I think of the time before we had supermarkets. That's how people live. That's what I...
Right, okay, I got you.
That's what I think of. I just watched started watching Food Inc.
Oh, yeah.
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 Which is...
It's another scam.
Another scam.
I mean, it's a cool thing, but I mean, food is just a big scam.
Oof.
It's all made just to make us sick and kill us. That's all it is. Food is garbage. Food is total garbage. And if you want any food that's good, either you got to grow it yourself or you have to pay out the...
Pay out the wazoo.
The wazoo.
That's right. Because the chickens they grow, those are not real chickens.
Nothing's real.
They don't even look anything like a real chicken.
Your grapes and watermelon and oranges, they're not real.
And your tomatoes aren't real either.
They're all made to be bigger, more colorful, seedless.
Yeah.
Yeah, just garbage.
They've been morphed into something that is almost...
And they're going to morph you into something, too.
Well, we're going to be different humans for ingesting this, and our kids are going to be, you know, something that
Our kids are going to turn into tomatoes. Oranges without seeds. Kids are going to be seedless one day. That's what's going to happen. That's what we're working towards. Humans, seedless humans, and then we can't repopulate.
Well, don't. That's not a joke.
No, that's what they want.
I think that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of powers that be that would like less people on this planet.
I wouldn't doubt if we're being watched right now.
Well, that's another thing that I wanted to mention about the bomber dude. Like, we have satellites in the sky that can see, like, a license plate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, live stuff, and they're recording crap. Like, Times Square, the government has that satellite view right down on Times Square and is recording it all. I'll bet you. It's all being recorded and backed up.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a kook, but I may agree with you. That seems a little... Just almost.
That's not kooky. You'll see what happens in the near future.
You'll see, mister. Telling you.
Yeah, there's some big new news about disclosure, too. So you just watch it. Disclosure, boy. UFOs. Extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but.
That's right. Big JD listens to Coast.
Yeah.
With, what's his name?
George Norrie.
Art Bell. Is he still doing doesn't do
He anything? Does, like, I think, weekends or something.
Oh, he still works.
Once in a while, yeah.
He's going to be like 100 years old, isn't he?
No, he's not really that old, no.
Oh, he's not that old? No. I put him in the same category as Ernie Harwell, which is some other news. We've lost Ernie Harwell.
Oh, Harwell, yeah.
Detroit Tiger.
Sportscaster guy.
Sportscaster. Passed away this past week. He was 92.
Ernie Harwell? Ernie Harwell.
Harwell. Okay.
You said Ernie Harwell.
Oh, did I?
No, you didn't.
That would have been dislikes.
Oh, back to the hunting and fishing show.
Hunting and fishing. What do you think of when you talk about hunting and fishing? When somebody starts talking about
just what comes to mind for me is a couple of things. One is just outdoorsiness. Just being outdoors, hunting, fishing, living off the land sort of thing. You know, not necessarily like back when you're thinking living off the land, but I mean just, you know, whatever that all entails, camaraderie, going out hunting and fishing and spending a weekend or a couple weeks out doing that or something. But fishing brings to mind for me is when I used to go fishing with my dad and my brother when we were kids. On Sunday mornings, we'd go get bagels in the morning and we'd stop and we'd go fishing. And a lot of times it was just with a stick with a string on it and everything. And I remember one time my brother caught a boot.
He caught
just that
a boot.
Cliche of fishing and catching a boot. He caught a rubber boot.
With his stick and string.
Yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
Would you guys just stick a little worm on a hook at the end of the string?
No worms. I don't think we even ever put on it. I don't know if we ever did. We just had like maybe a hook on the end of it or something and that was it. I don't remember very well.
That's a good way to catch a boot for sure.
Yeah.
Let's just make this hook go down to the bottom and I'm going to pick something
up. The boot bit the bait.
But there was no bait.
No.
Okay. That's interesting.
But
where'd you fish at though?
Right down to the river. Before it was kind of built up and had, you know, was like a public, you know, nice public park area.
Right.
Down at the water in the East End. It was just like, you could just go right down to the water and fish.
Right.
Yeah, there was no guardrails and no sidewalks and no anything.
There's some places that are still like that.
Yeah.
Little stretches.
Some spots, yeah. But I never, did you ever hunt? I never hunted, really.
I did get my hunting license.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. But did you hunt?
Yes, I hunted.
Okay.
Rabbits.
You killed something?
A rabbit, yeah.
What do you think about that now? Would you like to go kill animals?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. If I'm going to kill a rabbit, I'm going to eat it, and it's some good eating, man.
Yeah.
Any other meat?
Some people are so against killing them just because we shouldn't be killing animals, I guess.
Well, that we can
they say.
Well, yeah, those are vegans or vegetarians.
Sure, yeah.
Because if you're saying that and you're still eating burgers and steaks.
Well, especially if you are, yeah. Or wearing a fur. Hey!
Or wearing the fur. Well, that's another thing about the fur of a rabbit.
Did you ever save a rabbit foot and make your own rabbit's foot?
Yeah.
Yeah? You still have one? No.
I don't think so.
So how long ago was it that you might have hunted the last time?
The last time I hunted, I was probably like 17, 18 years old.
Okay.
That's a few years ago. 30 years ago, yeah, I got out of it.
I never actually, I don't think I ever hunted. Nope, never actually hunted. Blown up frogs here and there, but I don't know if you'd call that hunting.
I did
catch
that
a garter snake once in a while.
But going out in the bush behind my house and with pellet guns, you just shoot a bunch of frogs and chop their legs off. And we'd bring a pan and a thing of butter.
Oh, and you ate them.
And we ate them right there.
Oh, that was out of scum water, though, probably, too, eh?
Scum water?
Yeah.
I guess
rotten frog legs.
No, they were.
Were they healthy, you think?
Yeah, they were delicious. And also, if you go into the along the shore, there's also snails that were living in there.
Okay. Did you suck them?
And we'd take those out and throw them in the pan.
How do you get them out of the thing?
You could crack them open.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
No. But I remember doing that. That's a lot of fun, too. Just because there was a ton of frogs out there. Just
yeah, it's kind of like kid hunting, sort of.
It's kid hunting, it's pretty cool, sure. Yeah. And yeah. I was really young when I did that. Like, I was in Cubs, so I might have been like 10, 11 years old. And then it was guys like Dan Taylor that got me into, you know, shooting a shotgun. And
right.
Real guns. I never actually hunted with a bullet gun, like, you know, a whatever, you know.
Gun, single bullet?
A single bullet.
Like a 22 or something.
Oh, yeah, 22s for sure. I had that, but I'm thinking like a big, you know, big game.
Oh, like an elephant gun with a big wide barrel at the end.
I don't know.
Never hunt an elephant? No.
Never.
African safari?
Never hunted
Bombay?
No.
Yeah, so I've done 22s and I've shot the occasional shotgun, but I'll always target shooting, like, you know, out in the woods or something, shooting at stuff, cans and trees and whatever, but never actually hunted. And what about fishing? Did you do much fishing? Or have you taken the kids out fishing much at all? No.
See, the whole thing with fishing, going out onto the lake and fishing, I just thought that was B-O-R-I-N-G.
Yeah, it's the same as, to me, it's the same as golfing.
Yeah.
Probably. They're both the same.
Yeah, for you, I'm sure they are exactly.
Except for the cart. I'd like to cruise around in the cart. But,
yeah, I understand. I understand.
Fishing is boring.
But as far as ice fishing, for some reason, there was something about ice fishing, because there was a surface to stand on. Sometimes you had a shelter, and you had some booze, and, you know, it was a more of a party atmosphere. Yeah. Whereas you can't drink in a boat, because cops are just everywhere. That's been going on for, you know, 30 years. You always had to be careful about drinking in a boat. You know, you can't enjoy an alcohol.
Well, you can fish at the side of the water somewhere, and that might be kind of, you know, sit and drink and have a little party or something, or you go to the island and fish or something. I don't know. It sort of sounds nice and calming in theory. Like, you know, you hear people fishing are retired and they fish, or people go away and fish because they like, you know, just outdoors thing and, sure. and whatnot. But I'd find other things to do, I think, out there than just fish. I don't know. You fishing know. Isn't the thing for me.
Okay.
Everything good? Yeah.
Yeah, everything's good. Okay.
And we had the opportunity to talk to a couple people, actually, about hunting and fishing, probably hunting only.
Oh,
did we talk?
Right?
I don't know. Did you talk to...
Dan mentioned somebody? Fishing. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So did my interviewee somewhat, but didn't. He's more a hunter. Do you want to go ahead and play something? We can do your interview. Let's set this up for us.
All right, longtime, lifetime friend of mine, Dan Taylor, is a singer in the band King Friday, and he's been hunting and fishing for as long as I've known him, so I thought he'd be a good candidate for an interview, so I went out and talked to him yesterday, actually, mm-hmm. and this is the interview. Okay, I'm here with a good friend of mine, Dan Taylor, and as long as I've known him, I think he's been into the hunting and fishing, outdoor living kind of thing, and... I thought he'd be a perfect candidate to interview for our hunting and fishing show on the Jabbercast. But the first question I want to ask you is, what got you involved in that type of lifestyle, hunting and fishing?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. Actually, my dad did, of course, when I was young. His family and his uncles, and that they were all hunters back in the day. And when I was about 12... he'd take me out pheasant hunting for a couple days a year. I would be his dog, basically, running up and down the cornfields. Get a couple pheasants, maybe. When I turned about 15, we got a little 410. We did a little bit of duck hunting in a family bush that we had, one of his uncles owned. And that's what got me into it back then. Dad.
What is it that you enjoy most about the sport?
I can answer that one easily. The best thing about hunting is the mornings when you get dropped off or you get to your spot. And everybody else leaves, and you're on your own, and it's quiet. And whether it be for waterfowl, and you're on the water, and you can hear ducks and geese flying and everything else going on, or whether you're big game hunting, and you get dropped off at your spot, and you're sitting on your log, and you know that at any minute, anything, you know, you could actually see an animal, whether you ever shoot one or not. You could go years without shooting one. It's the sitting there knowing and the anticipation of saying, okay, I'm here. It's quiet. And you see everything else, of course, eagles and foxes and everything else that's going on while you're out there. That's probably my favorite thing.
Is there anything about it that you do not enjoy, whether it's sport-specific, the necessary equipment costs or licensing, regulations, stuff like that, the negative aspects of your sport?
Boy, negative aspects of the sport. There aren't a lot for me. Licensing and regulations, I'm all four. Our licenses help to protect wetlands, and all the licensing fees go into conservation, so I'm all for that. I don't need to take more than I can, so I'm all for the rules. I don't want to poach. I don't need more than one animal in a year. I don't need more than 25 fish at a time. You know, I don't. So I'm okay with regulations. I'm okay with licensing. I don't like sitting out in the rain particularly, but often that's when the best hunting is. But so, yeah, there's not much I don't like about the sport. I don't like to kill, but I'm not overkilling. I know that when I'm eating McDonald's, somebody had to kill that beef, and I know that that happens, so I don't particularly like that aspect of it, but I know it has to be done for survival. And I like the fact that hopefully I'll never need it, but it's our ancestors someday, my kids, my grandkids, somebody, there may come a time where they need to go hunt again, and this tradition needs to be passed on for future generations.
That was a good answer. Do your friends, family, and or spouse support the time that you put into hunting and fishing?
Family and spouse definitely do. They have the kids are a little squeamish, and it can be a lost tradition for sure. Lots of young kids don't. When I was a kid, it seemed that every young kid was into it a bit because their dads were into it. Today, there's less of it, so my kids aren't as into it, say, as I am. I like to get them out there fishing a little bit, and I think they'd be capable of doing it. But yeah, they support it. I guess I spend enough hours in the field. But friends and family, some like it, some don't. What are you going to do? I don't know. I get plenty of support. I don't need support. It's a lone sport.
Okay, this could be short or long, doesn't really matter, but depending on what your answer is, what was your most memorable experience while partaking in your sport?
Wow. There's many memorable experiences. Shooting my first duck with my dad is pretty memorable. Getting my first large game animal, like a moose, is quite memorable. Having a great day on the lake, ice fishing, and getting 30, 40 perch is quite memorable. So there's many. What's my most memorable thing? Oh, boy. I'd have to give that a little more thought, Mike. We'll come back to that if that's all right.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned ice fishing and you mentioned hunting, but you don't really fish much in the summertime. So I'm wondering, what is it about summertime fishing that is so different? Or is there anything different about... Is there an aspect about either one of those that you either don't like or like?
No, I would love to do a lot more summertime fishing. It's just my job doesn't permit it. That's the only problem. As you know, I'm in the swimming pool business. So, yeah, summers, I don't get much time to get out on the lake. Winter, I got lots of time. And so on a nice, sunny winter day, I like to get out there. And again, the solitude of sitting on the lake, listening to maybe a Jabbercast or something while I'm out there by myself. I like getting out on the lake in the winter. I don't like to be, again, do I like being out there when it's blowing cold? No, but if you're catching fish, there's something about it that's more important than being cold. So I enjoy it. Would I enjoy summer fishing? Sure, but I don't have the time.
All right, this is the first question. Last question we have down, we can get back to your most memorable moment. If someone asked you for any advice on the sport or subject, what would your best piece of advice be?
Best piece of advice on hunting, fishing, that type of a lifestyle. Well, you don't need I don't think you need all the fanciest equipment. I think you need very basic tools, bow and arrow. You can hunt big game with a bow and arrow, so you don't need a lot of fancy equipment, although bow and arrows can be quite fancy these days. But my best piece of advice, patience and persistence. You can sit on a pail out on the lake and freezing for fish for a long time without getting any. You can sit in a tree stand hunting deer for a long time. So you have to be persistent and patient, and it'll pay off in the end. And in the meantime, even if you never, ever take a shot, or it's years between taking shots, the enjoyment you can get from hearing a couple owls hooting back and forth while you're sitting there, or seeing some turkeys in the morning while you're hunting deer, or all of the other nature that you see, watching the leaves change through the fall. The hunting season is usually during the fall. It's a great time of the year to be outside. So just enjoy that, be patient, be persistent, and you'll be successful. Again, my most memorable moment. Boy, I've got so many. Well, this past year, I was lucky enough to have an encounter with the biggest bull moose that our camp, in my time of hunting, about 15 to 16, 17 years of moose hunting, biggest moose we've ever got was this year, and I was the lucky one who got it. And it was quite memorable in that, well, again, I was alone. I was about a mile off a road where from where I got dropped off, and I had gone into this little bush area. I had a GPS, and the GPS showed an old road beyond these trees, so I thought I'd go check it out to see if I could get, instead of walking back the mile I came from. So I went into these trees, and I couldn't really get through. I could see there was a swamp down there, and I said, forget this, and I turned around and came back. So in other words, I had made some noise in these trees, crack, crack, broke some branches and stuff, and I said, forget it, and I turned back, and I walked about 50 yards, and I knew I had about 25 minutes or maybe a half an hour before I would have to leave and head the mile back to get picked up on this road. So I sat there. After about 20 minutes of sitting there, off to my right, I heard the unmistakable sound of a moose, crack. As I've now been in the bush many years, I know what it sounds like, and it was definitely a moose close by. And I said, and I started, the heart started pounding, getting exciting. And a few minutes later, so if you can picture this, I was kind of off to my right shoulder. The bush in this swamp that I had just been in was behind me now, and I figured this moose was probably heading towards this swamp. So maybe 5 minutes later, I heard crack again. So he's still there, and he's off to my right a bit. Then maybe 5 minutes after that, I heard crack, crack, but down towards the swamps. I said, well, shoot, how did he get by me? How did he get through there? Then maybe 3 or 4 minutes later, I hear crack, crack again, but back over my right shoulder. So I'm getting confused, saying, well, he didn't. But then no sooner did I hear that noise again that down in the swamp I heard the big noise, the crunch, crunch, and the antlers racking off a tree. And out of this swamp comes this big, big bull moose. Because he was mad, because he had, first of all, I'm sure, looking back on it in retrospect, he had heard me crashing around in the trees there a bit. Thought, what's going on? Then 20 minutes later, he hears this other moose up top cracking around, and finally he said, enough is enough, and out he came to basically to ward off this other bull moose, which was partially me and partially this other moose that was there. I never did see the other moose. Off he went, but sure enough, about 100 yards away from me, out comes this big bull moose, and he could have went any direction, but he just started walking almost right towards me, and he got within 35 yards. I was able to make a perfect, clean kill. He dropped right there. And then I was pretty excited, so I got on the radio and told my guys, okay, we got a bull moose down, because this is, of course, where the work starts. And then as the radio started beeping and the guy saying, what? You know, who got a moose? What? And the radio started going crazy. And then all of a sudden I heard crunch, crunch, crunch. I thought my moose was getting up and running away. He wasn't. He was stone dead there, but it was the other moose I had forgotten about in the meantime. So I shut off the radio, but then he slowly crept away. That was a pretty exciting 20 minutes, I must say. So, and that's just one of many. I've had many great experiences like that, but not always with a kill to finish. I've had great experiences hearing moose in the wild and never seeing them with your heart pounding like mad. So it might kill me someday, the heart attack from these things. But that was a great experience.
Well, thanks a lot, Dan. That was a good story. I think you put people at the place you were at there. So I'd like to thank you for doing this interview with us, and thanks for your patronage of the Jabbercast.
It's a pleasure, Mike. Can't wait to listen back. I always listen to the Jabbercast, and looking forward to it. Keep up the good work.
There you go. Interview number one of two.
Yes, that was a great interview. I'm going to give you the GarageBand file, then we can just turn that down. Is that what the way would be to do that?
Turn it down? Why?
Because I was talking over Dan.
Oh, yeah, then we'll do that. I actually have it now, so.
Okay.
Or however it works, yeah. I mean, I have the, you know, you send me the AIF.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can stick it in there if you want to.
Whoa. All righty. So I'll go ahead and air my interview I did with Dave Goodison. He's an avid hunter. And did a lot of this professionally, and still does in many capacities, and also has a hunting television show. So here's my interview with Dave Goodison.
All right, I had this excellent opportunity to talk to avid 26-year hunter Dave Goodison. David has also launched a hunting television show. He's self-produced a retriever training DVD. This is going to be some great discussion with Dave. Dave, welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. How are you?
Well, thanks, JD. I'm really appreciative of getting a chance to speak with you, and thank you again for this opportunity.
All right, great. So I have a few questions that I want to ask you, and then also I do want to talk to you about your television show and your training DVD. So first on our list, the questions that we're asking hunters and fisher persons, I guess that's politically correct, on the show this week, the Hunting and Fishing Show. What got you interested in the sport of hunting?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. I was mainly a fisherman for most of my life, and as a young man, a young boy, I fished the oceans of Ireland in our sea fishing competitions, and I fished for my province and my county, and we hosted the World Shore Fishing Championships, my club actually. And then one day I bought a shotgun and I got hooked up with another hunter, and I went out hunting, and that was the end of all other hobbies for me. I think I was around 18 years old. About 18 years old. I went out and began to shoot rabbits actually, and then after that, I got into dog training and retriever training and just fell in love with the entire sport. And partly why I got into dog training was because hunting is specific in its seasons, and in the summer there really isn't a lot to do in terms of hunting. So, you know, the whole idea of training the dog in the summer to help you with hunting in the winter intrigued me. So basically, ever since I went out hunting the first time, I have been an avid hunter, and I've just learned more. I've watched DVDs and videos and read books and talked to people and hunt with some fantastic hunters across the country. And I've hunted across Europe, North America, and Canada. And over the years, I've prided myself in, you know, trying to hunt in a lot of places and to become the most knowledgeable and expert hunter I can. And that led eventually to my passion just increasing and launching my own TV show.
Well, that sounds great, and we're going to talk about those other things as well. What is it that you enjoy most about the sport of hunting?
Well, it's difficult to pin down one particular thing because there never is one thing. But part of what I enjoy about the hunting is the people I hunt with and the time I spend afield and in nature. And I love in the morning during hunting season when the sun is rising and you can see particular star formations or cloud formations, and being out in the wild regardless of what the weather is really is a great benefit to anybody who loves to be involved in nature. And believe it or not, most people think that hunters are shooters and killers, and really that's not what we're all about. And I find that much as I enjoy harvesting game and being a part of the hunt, but the entire experience of the hunt is what it's all about. And that includes the people, and it includes the location, and it also includes the act itself. And what I mean by that is I love to call ducks and geese and convince them to change their flight path to come into maybe my decoy spread. I enjoy learning how to put decoys out as birds get wiser during the season to fool them into where we would harvest the birds. And I guess what I enjoy is the challenge of fooling game and getting them within range and doing that in the beauty of nature and doing it with people I enjoy being with. And you tie all that together and then add on top of that the pleasure of doing it with a well-trained dog. You know, it all adds up to a fantastic time for me. And that's really, I can't really pin one thing that I love about the sport. I just love working with dogs in the wild with good friends and really trying to become better and more knowledgeable in game identification, calling particular game, and where to harvest that game. That for me is really the pleasure, and I know it sounds like a lot, but it's hard to pin down just one specific thing about the sport.
Now, is there anything that you about hunting that you might not enjoy? Is there some aspect or something such as maybe cost of equipment or like licensing regulations? Is there something that you wish was maybe a little different or something like that?
Yeah, I guess that's a great question. And there are always things about sports that no matter what sport we're in, perhaps that we're not 100% satisfied. And I respect the laws of the sport, and my friends and I are very keen on not only hunting, but hunting within boundaries and legal standards, and also being great conservationists. However, I can't really say that I don't like certain things about the sport, but, you know, could we have larger limits at certain times of the year? Well, I would love that. But I have to trust the powers that be who do field studies and conduct certain studies, that they understand the flyways, they understand the migration of the game, and they understand, for the betterment of the entire sport, what the season should be, what the parameters of the season, and what the parameters of our game limits should be. So I trust that they are setting it up correctly, and they must be, because we've had a lot more waterfowl, because basically I'm a waterfowl hunter, and we have a lot more waterfowl, and we have a lot more deer and a lot more turkey than we did 10 and 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I trust that even certain things about the game, maybe I could say that the expense of the game may be the biggest turnoff in a sense, because waterfowling is quite an expensive game to get into. But all in all, even the work, like putting decoys out in the morning, driving at 3 a.m., setting up decoys at 5 a.m., even though it sounds like a chore, you become part of that setup. You love the work, and a lot of the waterfowlers, we work extremely hard. We probably work harder at the weekend hunting than we do in our jobs. So a lot of people might say, man, you really like putting decoys out? That sounds boring. Well, yeah, it's part of the entire equation. But I guess I would say maybe cost. Lately, you know, because we get so expert and our decoys are so good and our guns operate so well, we tend to pay a premium price for that. And it's always difficult when you're, you know, a man like I am with four children and a wife to spend your money on certain things. You know, hunting is expensive. So I would say the only downside to hunting is perhaps the cost of it.
Now, you mentioned something to the effect that, you know, some friends may say that some of the things that you're involved in with hunting might be boring or this and that. Now, do friends or family or perhaps your spouse, do they support the time that you put into it, especially, you know, maybe friends and family that aren't really, not really involved or not really into it, but will they still support the time that you put into what you do?
Yeah, JD, that's a great question. And the person I respect the most about allowing me and permitting me the time is my wife. Mm-hmm. Because we have four children and we emigrated from Ireland many years ago, and we don't have a lot of extended family. I sometimes get worried if I'm afield too long, because I like to spend a lot of time with her. But no, a lot of people afford me the time. A lot of my close family and definitely my nuclear family really are not interested in hunting or the outdoors like I am. I do that with a select number of friends who are passionate, avid waterfowlers and hunters, and they're probably a little bit crazy about the sport, just like I am. And I find that my wife affords me the time, but it's really my only hobby. And I made a choice many years ago. I don't have time to play baseball. I don't have time to play hockey. I don't have time to do many other things because I have four children and I work very hard. I decided that I would only have one hobby, and I would try and be accomplished in that one thing. And because I'm so passionate about the outdoors, that one activity always has been hunting. So my wife understands when hunting season rolls around, she affords me the extra time to go afield. But mm-hmm. She also knows that when hunting season is over, then I'm hers. And I do my work around the house, and I try and spend as much time as I can with her in the off season. So that permits me and affords me a little bit more freedom
right
in the hunting season.
Now, what's your most memorable experience while partaking in your sport, would you say?
You know,
or something.
That's a good question too. I just did an interview with a Minnesota company, and they asked me something similar. And I don't. It's very difficult for me, as I explained earlier on, with the myriad and manifold joys around hunting. Be it, you know, scouting for games, setting up decoys, all those things just add to it. And I think really, if I had to pluck one aspect out of everything, and it wouldn't even be one aspect, it would be a thread over the last 26 years,
mm-hmm.
and that one thing is people. And I have realized lately, especially operating the TV show, that the one thing that I enjoy most in the last year is, because of the TV show, I have met a lot more people and hunters that I wouldn't normally hunt with, and it has broadened my friendship circle within the game. And I have found that the joy I have received from that is phenomenal and completely unexpected. And I would have to say the one overall thread through my whole experience is people, and not just one person, but is the people I hunt with, that I spend time at minus 20 degrees in a snow field for 12 hours hunting geese with. It's the people. I like being around the people.
Great. Now, if someone asks you for any advice on the sport or the subject, perhaps, what would be your best piece of advice? Maybe, let's say for somebody that's maybe just getting into it or getting started, what would be your best piece of advice to them?
Yeah, that's another great question. And I think that the piece of advice I would give them is talk to other people, because most hunters aren't covetous about their permission and their property. And sometimes if you are an avid hunter, a lot of avid hunters are always looking for people to go afield with. Because, you know, sometimes if we head out on water, we don't want to head out alone because there's certain dangers inherent in the sport if you head out in a boat. So I would say don't do it in a vacuum. And for many, many years, I hunted myself. I hunted by myself, and I would go afield at 3 and 4 a.m. with my dog and me with a shotgun and my decoys. I would do all the work myself, and it was a solitary sport for me. And I love the solitary aspect of it, and I love the aspect of me being alone in the wilderness. However, over the last number of years, my hunting experiences have grown. I've got more permission, more game, because I hunt with more people. And really, the camaraderie and the teamwork has built over the last number of years. So my advice to people is do not try and use this as a solitary sport, although you can enjoy being in the woods alone or the wild alone. But get to know other people. Talk to them about it. Get on Facebook. Get on forums. Get to know some local people. And you might have permission in one field, and someone else might have permission for some other farmland.
Right.
And then if you hunt with him, you share your permission with him. He shares his permission with you, and now you have twice the area to hunt. So I would say, and you can share the cost, right? Like, one of the big things I thought about earlier was cost. So if you have to buy 4 dozen decoys, if you hunt with some partner, now you only have to have 2 dozen each. Mm-hmm. Or you pay for the duck spread, and he pays for the goose spread. So I would say treat it not as a solitary sport, but as more of a community sport, and get involved in the hunting community, because people are looking to hunt with other people, and we want to get more people involved in conservation activities, and we want to get involved in more youth hunts to strengthen the sport into the future, because this sport is under threat. More and more nowadays, we have people moving to cities. Like right now, 10% of the northern hemisphere population, 10% of us live in rural areas, and 90% live in cities. That was not the demographic 100 years ago. It was exactly opposite. In fact, 90% of people lived on farms and lived in countries, and those people valued hunting and the experience of it. Well, now that demographic has switched, and most people live in cities, and they don't understand, and they would easily enact laws against hunting, not understanding the tradition and the value that people like I would put on hunting. So I'd say get involved in the community.
Well, that's a great answer, Dave, and I really appreciate you sharing all this vast knowledge you have in the sport, and it's apparent in your answers and also in the fact that you have your very own hunting television show. This is something you started a while back. Are you not in the second or third season already?
Yes, we'll be entering the second season will begin airing in July of this year.
Okay.
And the third season for next year, I will film this fall for next year's season, and we're hoping to launch into the U.S. next year. Currently, we just air across Canada on Wild TV, which is Canada's only hunting channel. And then in July, I will be going on Internet TV, so you could actually watch our show across the globe in July. And that kind of information would be on my website.
What's the name of the show?
The name of the show is The Canadian Wing Shooter, WingShooter, The Canadian Wing Shooter. And the term wing shooter refers to shooting all kinds of winged game. So we hunt partridge, pheasant, duck, and goose, but mainly our quarry is waterfowl. I would say we're 80% waterfowl and 20% upland game.
Great stuff. Also, as we mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you also have self-produced a dog training DVD, more specifically, I guess, a retriever training DVD, Hunting Dogs.
Let's Correct.
Talk about that a little bit, and also about its distribution where people can get that. And I guess that'll kind of lead into your information about your website and all that. So tell us about the DVD, and then tell us where we can get everything and see any of your stuff on the web.
Yeah, sure. The DVD is just over 2 hours, and it's focused on hunters. And although I have competed Labrador retrievers and retrievers in Europe and North America, and I value field trials and HRC tests and very structured tests and training regimes in retriever training, one of my most valued possessions is my dog, and my most valued possession is only most valued when I hunt. So
sure.
I train a lot for hunting, and my DVD is focused on hunters. It is not focused on field trailers, and it is not focused even on HRC, although if you follow the principles within the video, you would easily pass an HRC season test quite easily after a short period of time training my DVD. Also, because I'm a family man, I don't have a lot of time, so the DVD is designed for time-constrained people. And it is focused on retrievers, and it is focused on retriever training for hunters. And in conjunction with it, because I focus on hunters, I added a lot of footage from our TV shows. So there's some excellent hunting footage from goose hunts and duck hunts and that kind of thing.
Great.
All into the DVD. So it's not just the dog training. It's about our hunting culture, and it's about training dogs for hunting and having an excellent hunting companion. Now, it can be accessed on my website, which is www.canadianwingshooter.com, and it's on there with a bunch of supporting articles, and I keep putting articles up every couple of weeks so that if people want to, you know, learn exactly what to do in a very detailed manner, perhaps even more detailed than I show on the DVD, they can access the website and read articles just like they would read a book. And my idea there is that I'm only sending people the DVD. But if in a year they want to find detailed information, they visit the website. I don't have to ship them a book. I don't have to ship a lot of paper or enter the publishing costs, and they can access all this information from free right on the website.
That's right. The more trees you save, the longer you're going to be able to hunt.
Well, that's a really good point, especially for some of our perching ducks which live in the trees. That's a very good point.
Sure. Once again, the website, CanadianWingShooter.com. Dave Goodison, we want to make sure that people get a chance to check out your show. Where, again, is your show airing for the Canadian public?
Our show is on Wild TV, and some of the information on show times is right on the website.
Okay.
And Wild TV is broadcast on all the major major channels in Canada, such as Cogeco, Shaw, Rogers. They all air it.
Great.
And on the website, we'll be posting how to access the show in July, because we will go on outdoor TV, on internet TV, so you'll be able to watch it anywhere in the world for free on the internet.
Good stuff. Well, Dave, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on the Jabbercast, and wish you great success, not only in hunting, but obviously in your TV show and with your training DVD.
Well, thanks, Big JD. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time, and it's nice for someone in the media industry to take some time out with a waterfowler like myself, and perhaps to help conservation efforts and maybe introduce people to our sport. And I always appreciate and respect that, too.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
New Border City Radio Show in the can yet?
That's not in the can yet.
Okay.
I've been busy, but it's ready to go.
Check out the show page and wait for that, watch for that, subscribe to that, and set us up. What are we listening to this week? Oh, what?
I wanted to say it was a good interview.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was a good interview. Yeah. He was a good interviewee too.
Yeah, he's obviously
knows his stuff. He's for sure.
This Sunday Morning Music Mayhem is a song by Paul Rogers. It's a standard that's been around forever. Willie Dixon did a version, I know, and
Danzig.
Danzig did a version. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little piece of it is in a Led Zeppelin song.
Mm-hmm.
But this is by Paul Rogers from his Muddy Water Blues CD, and it's called The Hunter.
Okay.
Is my only game. Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
What I really wanted to talk about today is Microsoft's Kin 1 and Kin 2.
Can you tell us about it?
Not really.
Okay.
Did you see anything on these? Do you know anything about these Kin 1
about
and
these
Kin 2?
Devices there are
junk.
Well,
there's some things on them that are not on them that are, you know, should be the hugest part of these things, which I believe is some of the social networking stuff that's not wasn't even available on these.
Like what?
Microsoft has work to do. Let's see. For a phone that's meant to be social, there's no instant messaging. Microsoft says customers can get an IM-like experience through texting and MMS, multimedia messaging. And the lack of a calendar seems odd. Official explanation, the target customers are very spontaneous and often alerted to plans through status messages from friends.
Status.
Yeah. Status.
Status. Who says status?
I do. Status. What's your status?
He's making it up as he goes.
I think
along.
You can go either way on that. But
data.
Yeah.
Data.
Wait, you don't even have a calendar on it. You know, that's a huge part of anything.
I think I had a calendar on my very first cell phone.
I had a calendar on the wall when I was 3.
Really?
And they don't have one in this day and age on their phone, which is a joke. Put it on anyway. Who cares if nobody uses it?
Well, it's from Microsoft.
Somebody's going to say, why don't you guys have a calendar on? Who's ever going to say that? Why did you guys put a calendar on here? That's just stupid. Why did you even put a calendar on there? Nobody's ever going to say that.
No.
They didn't put a calendar on there because they can't put a calendar on there. They don't know how to put a calendar on there. And the greatest thing is this here. It also has built-in Zoom software. That's great, man. I just love that.
Are you
Zoom music player built in?
Are you against the Zoom?
I don't know. They just make such a big deal. And a fan of the music subscription concept, a $15 monthly Zoom Pass subscription gives you unlimited streaming access to millions of tunes, and you can keep 10 free downloads per month.
Right. I would love the
the
subscription thing.
Yeah.
All the music's available to you anytime you want it.
To listen to, right? Yeah.
To listen to.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I wish
Zune. What a stupid name, anyway.
I don't know. I can't.
Zune.
I can't knock.
That thing never went anywhere.
Well, no, because the iPod killed.
Killed it. Just killed it.
But the latest, Bill. But the latest iteration of the Zune, there's not really much wrong with it. There's some
Who owns a Zune?
Not many people.
Somebody let us know if you have a Zune and how much you love it. And how much you wish you had an iPod. So, yeah, there you have Sunday morning. Sunday morning
Tech
Museum.
Talk.
Tech Talk. And we'll get into the Jabber quote, and hopefully you've got one ready. It'll take me hours to get to the page that I've clicked on and I'm waiting for a quote, but here's a quote on fishing, actually.
Okay. Who are we?
$4 an hour.
$4 an hour, what's that?
No, I'm just kidding. A quote. You want to fish? That's a quote for you. $4 an hour. Get it? It's one of those things you kind of find a lot on. Anyway, author unknown, however, brought to us by
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of hunting and fishing equipment at the corner of Wabash and Strabane. You can get your hooks, your lures, your shotgun shells, and everything at Steve and Larry's in beautiful Burbank, California. StephenLarry's.com.
Fishing is the sport of drowning worms.
Yes, it is. You don't really have to deconstruct that too much, but a lot of people don't fish with worms. In some places, it's illegal to use live bait. You have to use lures and fly things, you know, things they make.
Flies. Fly things.
Fly fishing, that seems like a fun sport, but it seems like you have to get
Well, you got to throw them up in the air instead of in the water.
Right.
If you want to catch a fly.
If you want to... If you want to, you got to flick the water with the...
Frogs fly fish all the time.
They do?
Sure.
Is that, is that called fishing or is that called...
It's called fly fishing.
What do you
it's called eating.
When you shoot stuff out of the air.
Shoot.
Okay.
So, there's a couple other ones that are pretty good. Here's another one, author unknown, and many people have heard this saying, a bad day of fishing is better than a good day of work.
Yeah, that's you can say that for anything.
Yeah, a bad day of golfing is better than a good day of work.
Oh, golfing.
And another one, this is an old Irish blessing. And we'll send this one out to Dave. May the holes in your net be no larger than the fish in it.
Okay. That's nice.
That's good, yeah. So, there you have this week's Jabber quote. And what do we have coming up next week on the Jabbercast? And
while you're looking for that, I'm going to have Fred's in the... What's up with Fred? Fred's in the chat room. He bought a Zune for his wife.
Sweet.
She thought the battery wasn't powerful enough, didn't last long enough. As the broadcaster, you should have the power to... Oh, okay, he's talking about... Ustream. I put up the link for Mr. Goodison. What's his name? Dan Goodison?
Dave.
Dave.
Yeah.
I put up his link in the chat room so people can just go there and click on it.
Oh, cool.
But he said it was edited out.
What was edited out?
The link. You're not allowed to put a link
in. Oh, right. There. Okay. I see. Yeah. Which is, I think, just CanadianWingshooter.com or something.
Yes.
Next week, we have the prison show. What is it? How is it made? How does the Jabbercast fit in? I don't even get that. And what is it? How is it made?
How is it made?
What does that mean?
I don't know. You wrote
How is prison made?
Well, how are prisons made? And how are they being made now?
That doesn't make
I know.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
We're not
I don't know who posts this stuff. Unless it wasn't supposed to read prison and something else like bison.
Maybe it was the intern who did that.
Prize zone. Prizes. Anyway, that's next week. And there's some other great shows coming up. Animal Waste, that's going to be fun. And the United States of Europe, wherever that goes, I'm not sure.
Get out of town, we're going to do that?
That's weird. Oh, yeah, that's in a couple weeks. And the following week, the United States of Europe.
Cool. So if you have any...
2 weeks in a row, apparently.
Well, no, we're
there's something wrong here.
Yeah, you have to fix your post page.
Is there any importance to this topic at all? You might not think, but we learned, we will learn you otherwise. You may be surprised or grossed out. That was for the animal thing. What's it like? How's it different? Oh, they're all mixed up. That's what it is. It's not the prison thing. I don't even know what that's from. That's from a show that we tossed out or something. I don't know what the deal is. But the prison show, what's it like? How does it differ from jail? And where are the biggest facilities and the toughest? And how did prisons originate and when?
Okay, there we go.
And that's under animal waste.
Oh, jeez.
Which is there any importance to this topic at all? And then the United States of Europe. Oh, is it theirs now?
Right.
I didn't know which way you were going with the United States of Europe, that the United States is trying to take everything over kind of thing. Or the United States of Europe, that Europe becoming Americanized type thing. So
tune I guess we'll, to, you'll, yeah. You have to tune in to find out that
That's
information.
Right. Okay, awesome stuff. So anyway, next week, prisons.
Yeah, so if you have any ideas for the prison show, join us in the chat at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, next Sunday, or just email us at hearmeout@thejabbercast. Hearmeout, all one word, @thejabbercast.com, and give us some suggestions or some content that you want to give us for the show.
Sure, and you can always email us future topics if you'd like us to talk about something here on Jabbercast. And as well, at hearmeout@thejabbercast.com, if you want to send us an audio message or something we can play in the show, that would be awesome. Send us an ID, send us a message, send us something on the show topic that week.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be great. Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD@thejabbercast.com or Lippo@thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.